It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 627. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me voicemail messages. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that is Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Lots of stories from the trenches. Only one email at the end of the show from Kate having a client issue on an update with a Windows 10 Home. Lots of stories following up for last Saturday, the project on the domain migration. Oh, to the new server, it went perfectly. Just an incredible utility. I can't wait to talk about the details of that. Also, an SSD failed for a client. My first SSD failure, really. I'm going to talk about the RMA process for that company. I got a QuickBooks issue with QuickBooks 2017, and I want to know if anybody else is having the same problem with multi-user mode. Outlook issue. I'm going to talk about my 27-inch iMac is going in to a shop on Monday and what I'm getting done. If we have time, I have some stuff for Linux for Beginners. It's only 4 weeks away, the 2017 Unconvention. You want to get your tickets, go to www.unconvention.io. You can buy your tickets and get $40 off by using the promo code MTS. Time is running out. It's September 16th and 17th. It is set for the small business, the tech owner, the IT professional that's doing consulting. We're going to help you with your business. And that's what this weekend's about. Making the great contacts, listening, going, attending the labs, the workshops. I'm going to be part of it the whole weekend. This is your last chance to really get tickets and attend this. It's Washington, D.C. All the information's at the website, and I hope to see you there. The Unconvention 2017 is brought to you by Instant House Call and Tech Site Builder. And one of the main sponsors and also sponsoring this podcast is Malwarebytes, their TechBench tool set, an all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. Malwarebytes will be on a podcast in October. They are so busy between now and when the Unconvention is going to be that we worked out. I gave them a couple dates. It's going to be live on a Thursday night here. I will announce it in advance. Malwarebytes, they will join me via Skype, and you will have opportunities to ask them questions live in the chat. Look for that in mid-October. Looking forward to that. You know I never have guests on the show, and to spend a whole show dedicated with a guest like Malwarebytes, this is your chance to get some questions and some things answered and learn where are they heading with certain products. Let's begin by talking about the project on Saturday where I had a new server all set up. My process was, it was Small Business Server 2003 going to Windows Server 2012 Standard R2. They had a little KVM in the little server room, so that was great. So we hooked up the new server, but before I turned it on, I turned off DHCP. on the original server. The big issue was going to be the profiles. I want to talk about Forensit, Forensit.com. They have domain and profile migration tools. The free version worked perfectly, but there were a couple gotchas that I was able to deal with on the fly that I want to discuss. So after I got the files copied, and there wasn't a lot, it was like 10, 15 gigs of files that needed to be copied. Now you sync back and they quickly, both servers connected to the gig switch. So files got migrated very, very fast. Now I guinea pigged one person who was actually there, the office manager who's there, came on Saturday. On his system, I ran the profile wizard, the free wizard. You got to write down the name of the profile. Once you begin the utility, the first thing it asks you is what domain are you moving to? And you can check a box, join the domain. So I put the new domain name, and then I put the profile name, and I go next. And the system cannot find the new domain because DHCP is now technically announcing the wrong DNS server for Active Directory of the legacy systems. Your DNS in an Active Directory environment must be the IP address of the domain controller. Now, can you get by without that? Yes, but profiles load slow, logging onto the system is slow. Anytime you're in an Active Directory environment and you got this spinning wheel or waiting on welcome and the profile's not loading fast enough, look to DNS. There's 99% chance that it's a DNS issue. So me realizing this, I was like, ha-ha, let me put manually the DNS of the new server because that IP address might still be pulled from the old server before we got there. The lease might not have expired yet. So it's still got the IP info for the old domain controller. And I still need that. That domain controller has to be up. I plugged in and forced the IP address of the new domain controller. Relaunched the utility. Perfect. It then asked for the administrator credentials so it could join the domain. And it changed the profile to the new domain in 60 seconds. It was an amazing thing. I rebooted. The minute you're done, it tells you to reboot. Logged in. It was perfect. I was now on the new domain controller. I changed the map drives to the new server. Everything worked. One surprising thing, and I think this is because of the Windows Credential Manager, since it's now a different domain. What happened when I ran Outlook, and this is Outlook 2010, they're a SureWeb hosted exchange, it asked for the password again for that account. I'm like, okay. So once we put the password in, Outlook was running perfectly. So this was just a thing of beauty. We were able to hit the systems one by one, and at like 60 seconds, maybe a little longer, and the profile was migrated. So we had the procedure down to change the DNS, the IP address for the primary DNS, then ran the utility. And as I was running the utility, my son came behind me as Ken and I were working on migrating the systems and then making sure that their home directory was copied over to the right spot on the new server. My son did cleanup and tuning, running JRT, Adware Cleaner, making sure malware bytes, because we were sort of at the annual renewal, and I have another block of keys that I can sell them, and we needed to renew some of the malware bytes. So I gave my son a bunch of license keys. This was going great. Actually, there were two issues. The one didn't have anything to do with the migration. Malware bytes on the one system we tried to activate and it couldn't find the license server. And I was like, you know, I got instant house call on this. I'll deal with this over the weekend. I didn't want to, you know, I tried a couple things and it just didn't work. It could not find the license server. We were getting a certificate error. And I'll read that detailed error in a minute because Malwarebytes actually solved the problem for me late Saturday night. The next problem didn't occur till Monday morning. On the shared group directory, I did not give read-write permissions to all of the employees in this one main shared directory on the new server. So I had to quickly on Monday, this was the only follow-up call, was going in and just adding, I have an employee group created. I just had to give employee read-write instead of just read. By default, they had read. They could read all the files, but they couldn't write anything to that directory. That was the only fallout, really, from the whole migration. Let's get back to this Malwarebytes issue. Here's the error I was getting. Every time I tried to activate Malwarebytes 3.0 Premium, I would get unable to contact license server, check your network settings, or contact your system administrator for help. Well, I am the system administrator, technically, for that client. Then you would get a second screen after you hit OK. There was a problem validating SSL certificates. So I sent the screenshot and this back to the person I know at Malwarebytes. I emailed them Saturday night. And Alex was so kind, not only to get back to me right away, but with a whole bunch of things to try. And he wanted me to run the Malwarebytes utility that grabs logs, another program. I sent the log files. He analyzed them, sent it back, and said there are traces of a couple programs that are still running that could be blocking this. And I dutifully went in, did auto runs, looked at everything, and found these two device drivers that were unnecessary for another anti-malware program. Got rid of them, rebooted, no joy, same problem. He came back with a couple other things to try. I did them, no joy. Finally, and this had nothing to do with Malwarebytes, this is a problem with the system, and I've created a text file, which I will link for the procedure for the following. He says, ensure that the NT service CRYPTSVC has read and full control permissions on the following registry key. Then he goes on, these subkeys, registry keys, also needs that permission. And this is an H key local machine software, Microsoft system certificates, auth root. And under auth root, there's auto updates, certificates, CRLs, and CTLs. He was dead on. There was no permission for that file. If you ever get this error, this includes everything you got to do. I applied the permissions to that registry, and it was instantaneous. I didn't even have to reboot the computer. I just went in, put the license number in, and it activated immediately. So this was a local SSL certificate permissions issue. And I don't know how or why those permissions were removed from these registry keys, but something removed them, all fixed. And big, big thank you to Malwarebytes for getting back to me and working with me Saturday night to solve this problem. That was really, really nice. A couple things this week that happened. I have a Mooshkin. I bought two of them it's tough getting SSDs at a good price because the prices keep going up. And a few months ago, I bought two Mooshkins, M-U-S-H-K-I-N, 240 gig SSDs. They installed fine. They had some good ratings. Well, I get a call from a client that had one of my refurb systems that he purchased in April and said, Mike, the system won't boot. Now, I thought maybe I got to play with the BIOS or whatever. So we picked up the system, and I took the drive out. That drive was dead. Solid state drive dead. Got the serial number. Now, I took one off our shelf here, brand new drive, put it in. And luckily, there was no files or anything needed. So we reinstalled Windows 10 from scratch, got it all set up, and got the system back the next day to my client. I contacted the website for Mooshkin and put the serial number in, It's under warranty. There's a 3-year warranty. They got back to me within a couple hours with an RMA and instructions on where to ship the drive. I shipped the drive to them. I've already gotten an email stating that my replacement drive's on the way. But I'm kind of worried. I only bought two of them. That's a 50% failure already. So now I'm not sure where that other one goes. So I just an FYI, if you're putting a lot of SSDs out there, I'm using a couple different brands just because of the pricing fluctuation. I'm going to start making a chart when I sell a system, what SSD and the date that I purchased it. It's a lot of extra work, but you want to tie back hardware that I feel compelled to be responsible for because I sold them this system. I tell them there's a year warranty where I will take care of things on these refurb because I'm getting a year warranty on the refurbished system that I'm purchasing it, but not the SSDs. I'm getting that from the manufacturer because I'm putting the SSD in, where the person that sold me the system, the company that I'm buying the refurbs, they will honor the mechanical drive, but I'm taking that out and upgrading these to a solid state drive. So that's where the value is coming in, the speed. And I can get away with slightly older Optiplex 990s, Optiplex 7010s. I've been selling them faster than I can get them in. It just brings up a point. You got to be ready. If you're selling hardware, and I'm not a storefront, got to be prepared for returns and problems. And that was my first real dead SSD. I wanted to share that. But the RMA process was painless. Now, speaking of an SSD, tonight before the show, I had to log in and start the decryption process from a client's laptop that I'm going to be working on Saturday. They have Windows 7 Pro on the laptop on an SSD, but we want to have that available external because my backup plan is that if Windows 10 doesn't take right or there's a problem with some of his software, he's been very afraid to go to Windows 10. We're popping a whole brand new Samsung 500 gig SSD into the laptop, going to do Windows 10 from scratch. But because I want to access this drive externally, I wanted to remove all of the TrueCrypt encryption. So he's been an original TrueCrypt person, and it's been working. I haven't had to remove it. So tonight started that removal process, so I don't have to worry about that. Now, when I go to the laptop and put Windows 10 Pro on it, I will activate BitLocker encryption, which is, of course, included with the Pro version. That's one of the big differences between Home and Pro. And I always recommend Windows 10 Pro. And that my biggest reason is if you have a portable device or a laptop, you better encrypt your drive. So this way, if something happens, it goes falls in the wrong hands, someone gets that laptop or system, if they take that drive out, they are not getting the data. And then also on Saturday, we're adding a Synology to his house. So the Synology, and he's got 4 6-terabyte drives. So at RAID, we're going to have 18 terabytes available. That's going to be awesome. I will set it up and then set the apps up for them. They have a big music and video library that they're going to start storing things in the house. I'm going to be doing that while my son's doing the Windows 10 upgrade. You know, we got a couple other things, a couple UPSs we're going to be putting in place because the client's getting a full generator for the house. And when you have a generator for an office or a home, it takes about 12 seconds to kick in. So you need power protection on critical devices at worst 30 seconds, maybe a little more. We're positioning with his sons and his home office area, we're the infrastructure for the internet down in the basement. This is a big house. This is also the house where I designed the home theater system a couple years ago. Their basement server area, their basement, I would say, network area rivals most of the companies. This is a house with 42 network drops. Not kidding. An incredible Wi-Fi that I have set up. Now we're adding a Synology to the mix here. So there's a few things I need to do. We're also adding a big UPS to that equipment. So this way, when there is a power failure and it's kicking over to the generator, we're not going to have a loss of internet or any disruption for the voice over IP, yada, yada. That's Saturday. Running into, need some help from QuickBooks experts out there. Are you seeing the following? If I have to upgrade someone to QuickBooks Pro, I'm going to 2017. That's if they do not want to go to online. This is a multi-user. This is only happening with multi-user, because multi-user on QuickBooks, you have to have the QuickBooks server database manager running on the machine where the shared QuickBooks data files are located. Here's my problem. Every few days, I have to go to this peer server and do a rescan where it fixes the network and permissions for those files. And I got to do that on that utility every couple days. I don't have to do that with any previous version. And I have QuickBooks Pro set up a lot of places that are 2015, 2016. I'm not having the problem. 2017, I'm running into the problem with this one client. I have a QuickBooks expert that I still got to build my email form and description of this. And he's a QuickBooks advisor, and I'm going to have him escalate this to QuickBooks. But I wanted to throw that out there. Is anybody else seeing this as a problem? Do they have a fix? Do they have, you know, I'm going to report back on what Intuit gets back to us on this problem. Just wanted to share that. Had a MacBook Pro that I had to remove Office, Microsoft Office 2011, could not get Outlook fixed. And rather than try to even get 2011 fixed, we need Outlook 2016, because this particular client has an add-in that requires the latest Outlook 2016. So the best way to do that was to just go on and purchase Office 365 Personal. You get five computers and five, you know, you can put Office on five different devices and multiple tablets, and you get a terabyte of OneDrive. So that's really nice. Now, their email is hosted at SureWeb. One of the things I got to look into, and I haven't done this yet, and it's just like on my list, where I got to add, I know I can add Office 365 for Business to my SureWeb clients, and that's something I got to start doing. We went to Microsoft, and I had to do a full install of Office 2016, or quote, Office 365 on this Mac, and that solved the problem. So we had that. And the reason why I mentioned that is this segues into my 27-inch iMac here, where a few weeks ago, I talked about I wanted to upgrade the 3 terabyte internal hard drive to a solid-state drive. Apple won't do it. A lot of places won't do this, and it's too hard for a 27-inch. I'm afraid of the monitor. So I know someone that has a Mac store that's about a half-hour drive from here, and he was able to get the bracket and the sensor. I bought a terabyte SSD Samsung, and I'm scheduled to take my iMac to him on Monday. Well, something else happened with this vintage. This is late 2012, 27-inch iMac, the hinge broke. This is a common problem. Here's how common it is. The monitor is in a constant tilted down state because the hinge broke. It's so commonplace that iFixit came out with a piece of foam to stuff in the back to keep the monitor upright. Now, I bought the foam, and I'm holding it up so everybody here in the chat can see it and on the recording. I asked my friend, I said, can you repair the hinge? He said, Mike, I could repair it, but it's going to take 3 hours of labor. It is so complicated to fix that hinge. He says, why don't you just go to iFixit and get the piece of foam? And I said, you know, I already ordered that. I said that I was hoping that you'd be able to do it. Now, Apple, I believe, has a reimbursement, but I don't know how much it is. So what I'm going to do is find out, hopefully before Monday, how much they will reimburse for the hinge repair. And if they will, and I'll offer that to my friend and say, look, if I can get reimbursed for this, would you still do the work? And would you take that for whatever they're going to offer me? And would that be worth it for him to do it? Because I would really like to have it naturally fixed and not have to use this block of foam to hoist it up. So anyway, that's my iMac. Before we start to wrap up, I want to mention something from Maximum PC's August edition that may make it worth buying if you're new to Linux or you're a Linux beginner. They have a section, and I'm going to give you just the headings. It's everything you wanted to know about Linux but were afraid to ask. You have Navigate the Linux File System, Introducing the File Permissions, Drivers, Installing the Software, the Terminal, Top Tips for Linux Switchers, Swap Out Your Desktop, and What's New in Ubuntu 17.04. If you're interested in Linux, I highly recommend reading that article on Maximum PC for August. I have some music for tonight's show, but before we do that, I want to read this email, and it's from Kate. She wants to know, it's about Knowledge Base article 2553065. Any idea why this update is installing itself over and over again, or how to stop it on a Windows 10 home system? Kate, I want to know how to stop updates because I'm in a permanent freeze right now on my Windows 10 Pro, where every time I get it tries to do an update, and this happens now once a month, because even turning off the service, it doesn't stop it. Whatever the one update is that keeps trying, it hoses my system, and I got to go back to a restore point. I do not know how to do this, and I wrote Kate back stating that I would ask everybody, how do you stop an update from happening? Maybe let's say the update's killing your computer and you get yourself to where you're running again. You don't want that update. Now, in the old days, Windows 7 and prior, we could hide that update. We could check it. We could uninstall it. We could make sure it's not going to come back. How do we do this in Windows 10? I'm turning this into a bigger, broader question, but Kate has this single update. I would very much like to get, how do we stop specific updates from happening on Windows 10? We got to get an answer to this. Kate, thank you for the question. Some music I have lined up because over the weekend and the last few weeks, I want to describe, you know, I'm a big, big music fan and I go to lots of concerts. This is what's on my list for the upcoming months. On August 26th, I'm going to see Matchbox 20 and the Counting Crows. That was free tickets, part of the class action lawsuit for Ticketmaster, where I actually qualified for 9 pairs of free tickets. But you know what? When that happened, like over a year ago, there were no concerts available to really utilize them. Slowly, some have been opening up. And so I was able to get 2 tickets. I love the Counting Crows, but bonus, I've never heard Matchbox 20. So I got that on the 26th. August 31st, Thursday night, Green Day. So there'll be no show possibly that week. As a matter of fact, with what's happening over the next few weeks and the unconvention, there's going to be a point where I'm almost doing a show every other week. Stay tuned for a detailed schedule. I picked up on Groupon for October 7th, Halsey. So I really want to see Halsey. But here's my biggest one. And it's at my favorite venue. And again, it's a Thursday night. It's November 2nd. And I'm going to get to see Evanescence. They have a new album coming out. And I'm going to be able to see them at my favorite venue, which is the Tower Theater. My second favorite venue is Madison Square Garden. So January 12th and 13th, my son Ryan and I, we're seeing the Killers. Friday night in Madison Square Garden, and then Thursday in Philly at the Wells Fargo. So with all that being said, I picked out a live version of one of my favorite Evanescence songs. Amy Lee has just an incredible voice. I hope you enjoy this song.
Suppressed by all my childish fears.
That is Evanescence, the song My Immortal, and I am looking forward to seeing them live on November 2nd at the Tower Theater. And matter of fact, I was just mentioning in the chat, my son Ryan's going to be seeing the comedian and director Kevin Smith that night in Delaware, and he's given up. And there's a long story. One of his favorite bands is also playing that night that he's not going to see, Imagine Dragons. So anyway, lots of musical stuff happening. So going to be quite busy. Plus mixing in there some travel and stuff over the next couple months. I will keep everybody posted at my schedule. That is it for tonight's show. And I will have a show next week. Before I part, if you buy from Amazon, and there's lots of back-to-school items you're going to need, go to Amazon. If you purchased or know anybody that purchases from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I will see you here next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.